Live event transportation just got easier. BusQuoteUSA.com is ready to put the smackdown on your charter bus needs. They can service group sizes of 10 to 500,000. They have vehicles in every metro across North America. It's no hassle, easy, to-the-point transportation. Arrive in style. Check out BusQuoteUSA.com. That's BusQuoteUSA.com today. All right, so here's something I'm really excited to talk to you guys about. It's a game called Gods on Kickstarter. It's a virtual reality game, but it doesn't require any kind of headset, so which is really awesome. It's a game where you are a god, and you want to take followers, but you have to take care of your followers. You have to beat other enemy gods, raise an army, and use creatures like tigers, lions, and some other animals to fight them. And the VR just looks awesome. It's a bonus. You don't need a headset. You can levitate things, throw off fireballs, squeeze, and move people with your hands. It's like you're a god. I mean, it is pretty much what you would expect a god to be. You can almost do anything. You use gestures to attack, play as different characters throughout the game. It's multiplayer as well. And also, what's really cool, and you don't hear a lot about this, is that they are backed by Facebook, who are willing to help them out with some technical assistance. So what's also great is this game is available on PC, Xbox, PS4, Nintendo Switch, but they're also looking to add full support for the Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, and PSVR. So it's pretty much every platform that you could think of. And right now, virtual reality is the growing trend. And I really would recommend you guys check out the Gods on Kickstarter. And I will tweet out a link that you'll see on my Twitter feed, which I'm at the WWE Podcast. So that link will be available there if you'd like to learn more about the project and maybe contribute and get this game going, because I think it's going to be a really big deal. And I'm super excited about this because I'm a video game fanatic. And when I see something this exciting, I have to tell you guys about it. Again, it's called Gods on Kickstarter. So check that out today, and I think you'll be glad you did.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. It is Thursday, April 25th, 2019. And this is your pro wrestling fix for the week, or bi-weekly. As you guys know, the show is twice a week, but I'm looking at doing more. I know I'm saying that a lot, but I really am. I'm also looking to do a lot of improvements on the show. I recently put out a 12... poll on Twitter, if you will, and I asked you guys how we can improve the show, and ironically, I got a response that tied for first. Two responses that tied for first, each with 36% of the vote, and the first one was that you guys want more than two shows per week, and you want to add a co-host. In third place was adding live shows, and 9% had other. And so, look, I'm taking this to heart. I know that this show could be better, as some people put on some review boards that this show has no substance. Well, then go find a show that you believe does. I mean, look, in some people on Twitter, it's such a cesspool at times. It really is. I mean, let's just be honest. You know, you put yourself out there and you ask for feedback, and some people give you serious feedback. Some people don't. That's just what the internet is. I get it. I get all that. Look, if you don't like a show, just don't listen. I mean, point blank, don't listen if you don't like a show. That's all there is to it. But, you know, sometimes you guys got these keyboard warriors that sit there in their mom's basement and type away and wouldn't say anything to your face. I mean, they can sit there all day behind, you know, anonymity and the internet and using their mom's iPad and, you know, just saying things that, again, they would never say to your face. And I guess that's just the nature of the beast. And I'm not complaining. Look, I love the success of this show, and I thank everybody who listens to this show. I appreciate everybody who listens to this show, every single person. I really do, because you guys make this show a success. I don't. You guys do. And some people are saying, well, you know, I'm not even going to get into what some people are saying because they don't matter. I mean, honestly, like, I was looking for honest feedback, and I got a really good ideas from a lot of you. But there's those few clowns out there that just can't help themselves. And I guess that's what the block button's for. And I guess some people didn't like the fact that I draw attention to those people that give me one star. But I think that it's not... I think that there's nothing wrong with not running from people who have criticism of your show. I really think that that's just the way that people should operate and not just take in all the good, because that's not really how you improve. You improve by hearing suggestions, but there's a classy way to do it and there's a respectful way to do it. And I guess that's surprisingly not the way some people do it on the internet. So I'm not going to give those people the time of day, but for those of you that did provide feedback, I do thank you. I will be looking into adding a co-host and maybe a permanent co-host to this show. I think that it's needed. I mean, as beautiful as my voice is, I think that there is a big, large need and a wide open opportunity for a co-host, and one that is maybe consistent and not just a rotating cast. Although there's benefits to that too, because then you get to hear a new voice every week. So I'm looking at a permanent co-host and then doing a solo show on my Sundays, you know, my What If segment, or on my Wrestling Nostalgia segment that I have on Sunday. And then maybe a interim in-between show where I discuss just a single topic in wrestling, or just dive into part two of the week. I mean, we have Raw and SmackDown. I mean, you could really dive into a ton of different stuff. And I've got a lot of comments to go on this week, and a lot of positive. I know you guys say I complain a lot, and that is a recurring theme, even though some of you that do say that you enjoy the show, I do complain a lot. And look, I'm aware of that. I totally get it. But what I think people need to understand, there's a difference between complaining and loving a product that you want to see improve and seeing room for improvement. I don't come on here and cuss and say how terrible WWE is and just run it into the ground and it's just awful. It's just no. When I critique something, it's because I love it and I want to see it improve. Hence why I do this podcast multiple times per week. I mean, and invest my money in doing this show. I don't do it so I can complain and get clicks. I do it because it's a genuine interest and genuine passion and genuine effort I want to make to improve the product. That's what that is. But if some of you construe it as complaining, well, look, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not apologizing for who and what I am and how I speak about the product. So again, and I mean this very respectfully, there are other shows. If you don't enjoy this show, honestly, go listen to another show, because I'm not apologizing for how I analyze the product and break it down. So that's the solution. It's a very easy one. Go somewhere else. Seriously. And I'm meaning that from the bottom of my heart, and I don't mean it in a condescending way. It's just very simple. Very simple. But I'm also at the same time aware of the fact that sometimes it can come off as complaining, and I focus more on the critiques rather than I do the positive. But here's the thing. A lot of times, there isn't a lot of positive going on in WWE. I understand it's also a very subjective product. It's a product that some people love, some people hate. It's just the way it's always going to be. It's a product that is always and never going to satisfy everybody at the same time. Never. It's just never. It's impossible to do. And so I think that when I give my critiques, I'm doing it in an intelligent way, and I'm doing it in a way that is trying to improve what I'm watching and pointing out flaws and where things can improve. And I do try to inject some things that I love. And this week, I actually have something I really, really liked that that was very controversial, and I'll get to that in just a moment too. But I just wanted to put that aside too, that I'm aware that it can come off as complaining, but it's also something that is constructive that I try to make it as such. And I repeat myself, well, guess what? I'm just responding to some of the main repetitive critiques on my show. And I'm doing it again in not a defensive way, but just an honest, straightforward answer to these things. I repeat myself. Here's the deal. I'm aware this is just a personality trait of me that I repeat myself at times. And that's just me. And I'm working to improve on that, and not just here, but in my life. It's just sometimes when I find a concept that I like and I feel like I've grasped onto and I can stand by and I can speak about intelligently, passionately, and with a lot of footing, if you will, I tend to repeat it. And I don't mean to do it, but I feel strongly about something, so I will just continue to do it. And so again, that is something I'm working on, but I'm also not apologizing for being my own genuine self on this show. Like, what you hear, guys, is what you get. If you met me, this is how I would speak to you about wrestling. I mean, if we're talking about something else, who knows, right? But about wrestling, this is me, and I don't know what else to tell you. So it is, I hate that cliche, that sentence of it is what it is, that whole saying. That bothers me. I don't like it, but so I'm not going to say that, but I will just say I'm not going to apologize for being me, but I am aware of the fact that that is a personality trait of mine, and I am working on that. Okay, so with all of the response out of the way, let's get to something I really loved in Monday Night Raw. Like, and at first, I didn't really love this. It was something that I looked at and I went, huh? I just went, what is this? And initially, I said, this is bizarre. It's kind of hokey, cheesy, what the hell is going on reaction. And as it went on, and even further, as the days went on, I couldn't stop watching it. I mean, I've watched this segment probably 20 times because, and what I'm speaking to, of course, is Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse. And there are so many nuggets that are in that that segment, in that taped segment, that you really can dig and find different gems and hidden messages in that particular show, in that particular segment. Now, you may be saying, well, you're giving Vince McMahon and the production team too much credit. It is what it is. It's on the surface, and you just take it at face value. But I don't think so. When you dig down to what this whole personality change is in Bray Wyatt, you could find a lot of different nuggets in just this, what is a 3-4 minute segment. And I just want to say, I really enjoyed it. The more I watch it, the more I enjoy it. The number one reason I enjoy it is because of the fact that Bray Wyatt went all in on that character. All in. He didn't try to pretend to be something. He didn't half-ass it. He went 110% in and made you watch. I mean, you just couldn't stop watching. Even if you have a very negative view on this, you can't deny that you couldn't stop watching that segment because it's just so bizarre and such a contrast from what he was. But at the same time, acknowledging what he was. And I appreciate the fact that WWE didn't just throw this away, throw his old personality away, try to totally repackage and maybe even give him a different name. I could see them doing that. And they acknowledge that he used to be this dark character, but Bray Wyatt is fighting that dark character and saying that even in my weakest moment, I will never go back to that slob that I was. There's so many things they could do with this. I know that the sponsors, apparently reportedly the sponsors of WWE, we're not happy with this because it mimicked a child's show and they're also in a PG environment. I would say to those sponsors or say to those stockholders, you're watching wrestling. You're not watching Blue's Clues. What the hell do you think you're going to get? My God. I mean, let's stop being so sensitive. If your kids are watching this show, they should probably be over the age of 8 or 9 or 10. And it's also called PG, parental guidance, meaning you should probably be watching it with them or explaining things to them. So if you're just a bad parent, then that's probably what your problem is. Okay. I mean, so I enjoyed the segment and acknowledging the fact that Bray Wyatt was a dark character. He chainsawed his, he had a stand up of his old self and sliced it in half with a chainsaw and then did kind of that laugh, but said that you know, he'll see us next week. I'm really excited for next week. I hope they don't scrap this segment because of some pushback from sponsors. This particular segment on WWE's YouTube channel has already over 2.5 million views. That's a lot more than some of the segments that's been on there for weeks and months. A lot of people are viewing this. And I think they've got a lot of people's interest. Whether you love it or hate it, I think you need to see what happens next week. It might have been the most interesting thing that happened on Raw. I really think it might have been. You could make that argument. I loved it. And you could, when you look at the buzzard, Mercy, the buzzard. How many times did Bray Wyatt talk about follow the buzzards? There's your connection there. Mercy, something he never showed as the dark character. So he names the buzzard that he told you to follow Mercy, something that he never showed. He's got a witch, Bobo or Popo. I couldn't really hear. But the witch is a resemblance of Sister Abigail, somebody that we never actually physically saw. We have a rabbit. Unless somebody understands that connection, I think it was just a third animal they needed to throw in there. I don't know. But there's connections here. And see him coming out in a sweater with the collar underneath and just well-dressed, haircut, beard trimmed up. He went all in. I loved it. I'm all for it. I'm just intrigued. And I hope they don't drop the ball in week two. And honestly, I hope they don't bring him to the ring yet. I hope they just continue these backstage segments and continue to build on what he could be. Personally, I think that he's going to come. This is a babyface character. The reason I think it's a babyface character is because that he's suppressing what he really is with this mask of a transformation into this all-loving, basically child-friendly man that he has transformed into after suffering for the wrongdoings, as he said, that he committed as this bad, bad man. I'm really liking this because I think that once you finally do bring Bray Wyatt to the ring, which I think will probably be for the first time at Money in the Bank, maybe we'll see him appear live in the middle of the ring, not in a match, but just advertised as for the first time in, I don't know, X number of months, however long Bray Wyatt's been out, Bray Wyatt will be appearing live. And then you could get him into a program with somebody. But the whole premise for this character is that he is basically Pee Wee Herman. Okay, you can draw a lot of parallels here, Blue's Clues, whatever you want. And he is suppressing this dark character that eventually is going to be brought back. I think that's the premise here, and he's going to try to stay this nice man until he is pushed to the limit and you start to see flashes of his old self returning. And I think that the fans will clamor for that after seeing this wholesome, just smiling, all-loving Bray Wyatt that you know underneath there's a darkness that is going to be resurfacing once it's triggered by the right individual. And I think that's the premise for it. Many people are drawing the parallel to Cactus Jack and Mick Foley, or Dude Love and Cactus Jack, rather. When Dude Love couldn't get extreme enough, Mick Foley would transform into Cactus Jack. That is a decent analogy. I think that there is some truth to that and some accuracy to that. So if you want your analogy, there's one for you. So that's one really good thing I'm excited for. I'm also excited. Man, you talk about positivity. Man, you think the New Day was here. It's a new day. Yes, it is. So I had something else that I really enjoyed, and that was on SmackDown Live, which was Kevin Owens turning heel. Now, I had trouble believing in him throughout his, quote, babyface return. I had trouble believing that he was a long-term babyface, and I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it did. it did drop, and some people are saying it's too early. I don't think so. I'm fine with the timing. Unfortunately, I wasn't surprised by it because I watch Hulu, the Hulu version of SmackDown, but my problem is that I can't stay off social media, so I see pictures of things that are from the night before, and I saw an image of Kevin Owens about to powerbomb a New Day member, and I said, oh, well, there's the heel turn. So that wasn't a surprise to me, but had I watched it in real time, I think that it was a well-done, not foreseen turn by Kevin Owens, at least on that night. You could say that, well, the way that they structured the main event, there was really nothing on the line. Shinsuke Nakamura has been defined down until the nth degree at this point. And we had Kofi Kingston in the main event, but nothing's on the line. There has to be an angle here. What's the catch? There's no title on the line. It's Shinsuke. And now we got the answer. So that would have been your first clue that, okay, it's Kofi, but nothing's here. So what's the big hook? And we got it. And Kevin Owens powerbombed Xavier Woods on the apron. And I don't know how you fake that. I mean, seriously, that has to hurt regardless of how you try to fall on it. Kofi Kingston gets beat down. And now we get Kofi Kingston and we get Kevin Owens at Money in the Bank. It's not official yet, but let's be honest, that's where they're headed. And that's where they were headed for No Way Out in the pay-per-view before WrestleMania. Was it No Way Out? Or I just think it was a fast lane? I don't know. I always say No Way Out because to me, No Way Out is the staple before WrestleMania. But let's just say fast lane. And obviously, Kofi Kingston happened. So anyway, they're getting to that match. It's just a month after WrestleMania rather than a month before. So I don't think Kevin Owens is going to capture the belt from Kofi Kingston. We could see a Big E return around that time, which Money in the Bank is, let me turn around, I have my board written here. I have a little whiteboard that I write down the next pay-per-view date, May 19th. So May 19th is Money in the Bank. So that is time, I guess, for Big E to possibly get cleared to come back to compete and at least maybe in a very limited physical role, inject himself into the New Day being reunited. And I'm fine with that because a lot of speculation was also running rampant that Big E was going to turn heel on Kevin Owens and Kevin Owens would play the babyface and Big E would be looked down on and be the bad guy that turned on the New Day. So I'm fine with it. I think the New Day actually has gotten a lot of life breathed back into it. It's amazing the New Day that have gone this long and have sustained the success that they have and the merchandise sales that they've had and the chemistry. And it still is an act while it's old, is not quite stale yet. And just when you think it's stale, they get another injection of energy. And just when you think, oh, this group has run its course, I called for it a couple of years ago that this group has run its course and that they need to break up. And I don't know if they ever should. I don't know if they ever should. I mean, could you make a star out of Big E? Maybe. Could you make a star out of Xavier Woods? Less likely, but not impossible. So I don't know if this is a group that ever should split up. Because as I mentioned a few weeks ago, WWE needs to think long and extremely hard about breaking these three guys up. Because it's not your normal run-of-the-mill faction that comes along every year or 2 years. This is a faction that comes along once every 10 years. And I mean that by, are they as influential as D-Generation X? Are they as influential as the Hart Foundation, as the NWO? No, I don't think they are. But if you're looking at your bottom line and you're a business trying to make a profit, you need to think long and hard about disbanding that group because these three guys are cash cows and the chemistry with these three can't be manufactured, can't be discussed and just created in a boardroom full of 15 writers. This is something that, again, is magic that only happens probably every 10 years. And it's something that they really need to think about because it's going to hurt their bottom line if they break these three up. How much merchandise do they sell? How many video games? How many T-shirts? How many boxes of cereal have they sold? When you think about it, they are a cash cow for WWE, and I don't know if I was WWE if I break these three up because the benefit of of trying to create a star, the risk, the big risk of trying to create a star from that group, or maybe a couple of stars from the disbanding of that group, could it likely exceed the revenue that you're generating from these three staying together? Is the risk worth that potential reward? I say no. I say keep these three together, but nonetheless, we'll have to see if WWE does. Maybe they're the first group in history to never disband. Who knows? So those are two things that I really liked was Kevin Owens' heel turn and was the Bray Wyatt Firefly Funhouse. So how about that for some power of positivity for the open of the show? I'm going to try to do that a little bit more and give you guys some positivity to open the show with rather than the critiques, as I professionally put them, rather than, or in layman's terms, the complaints and the constant complaining about WWE or whatever. All right. So some other things that I did like was AJ Styles and Seth Rollins. How can we not talk about that? I think that is a hell of a match. I think it's the right move. I think that Drew McIntyre would have been a close second choice. He was my pick. But upon review, I think that it's a smart choice to keep him away from the title picture, at least for the time being. Maybe they wait until SummerSlam to crown him champion. I'm fine with that. And they protected him on Raw by having him do the dirty work only to not get the pinfall. And I think that that's a smart move by WWE. Continue to build him behind the scenes as this monster heel. He's got a legitimate finisher. He's believable on the mic. I'm a big Drew McIntyre fan, and I think that they're just preparing him right now for the big run he's going to have at SummerSlam, which I think is where he'll be crowned. And, furthermore, when you have a babyface climb the mountain and finally beat a heel that's had the belt for a long time at WrestleMania, and they achieve that mountaintop and get there, you got to have that babyface hold on to the belt for some time. And what I mean by some time is at least 3 to 4 months. Let them revel in their win and continue to find new opponents until that one monster heel comes along and dethrones them. But the fans need that time to breathe and say, oh, okay, they finally got here. Let's just hope WWE lets them hang on to it so that we can at least enjoy ourselves for a couple of months. And that's what's happening here. I don't think AJ Styles is going to beat Seth Rollins. I'm excited for the match. I think it could be a show stealer, but I don't think AJ Styles needs the Universal Championship yet. Seth Rollins needs to just retain for, like I said, minimum of 3 to 4 months. There's that. In some other news, we had Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and Rey Mysterio in one of their triple threat matches. And the little sticking point I have here, and this has been a sticking point that I've had for weeks and weeks, is that Samoa Joe continues to take the losses. How terrible is Samoa Joe's win-loss record over the last 2 months? It's stunning. It's stunning. And credit to Samoa Joe, who is able to come out and run his mouth and immediately bring legitimacy back to his act. He has got one of the most believable promos in the industry, period. So credit to him for his experience in promos, believability, and content in his promos that just makes you believe. So he's able to do that, which is a good thing. But the fact that he's taking loss after loss after loss after loss, but still holding the United States Championship, is concerning. I was hoping that WrestleMania, when he put Mysterio down in record time, would be this fresh start for Samoa Joe, where he would go off on this tear, this monster tear. Something finally snapped in Samoa Joe, and we would get the Joe of old, where he was almost unbeatable. And we clearly are not there. Doesn't seem WWE is on the same page as I am, and I don't know why they're just basically jobbing Joe out at every turn, in every non-title match. It's doing a disservice to Samoa Joe, who needs to have, at some point in his career before it's too late, a major title run, and not with just the Intercontinental or United States Championship. I am talking about one of the major belts. How he has not held this yet is a travesty of epic proportions. But there's still time. There's still time. And I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. So, in other news, boy, I feel like a reporter today. I don't know. I'm watching. I don't know about you guys. I don't know what the hell's wrong with me lately. But, like, I've been watching a lot of politics. I don't know why. I listened to some podcasts in politics, and particular, this could be very controversial. Who knows? Maybe you guys will instantly turn off when I tell you this. But lately, like, I've been really listening and getting into Ben Shapiro's podcast, who I think is one of the most controversial but very intelligent, well-spoken, and one of the better analysts of politics out there. And I don't know. Anyway, that's my politics spiel. I'll get off that. But I think maybe that's what's making me a little bit more of a – got that reporter feel tonight. I don't know what the hell's going on. So let's move on. Billy Kay and Naomi. You know, Peyton Royce is at ringside for that one. The Iconics cut a promo before the match, and it didn't really last long. Naomi quickly turns it around and rolls up Billy to steal a pin after a very short match. It's just WWE's formula of having the champion of really any belt lose non-title matches so that they can get contenders and they can have individuals or performers that have a legitimate beef for saying that they are contenders for that particular championship. I think there needs to be a new formula because it makes the champions look weak. There just needs to be a new formula. It's the same formula over and over and over. I mean, Samoa Joe's being abused with that formula at this point. I mean, just you think about every championship. It happens over and over and over. Oh, they lose every non-title match, but they end up, you know, they end up retaining when it comes down to that championship match. It just makes them look weak, and it's 50-50 booking at best at times. So, but nonetheless, what I'm really enjoying too, I'm going to stay on my positive path here, is Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, the Iconics, as women's tag team champions. I'm really enjoying that. I think that they are an act that is one of the breakout acts over the last 6 months. They're obnoxious. They have hell of a chemistry together. They're decent in the ring. Decent. And I think that they have a presence on camera. That they bring something that makes you want to watch beyond, oh, they're hot. Okay, well, yeah, they're good looking. That's fine. But I don't watch wrestling to watch hot women. I just don't. I mean, there's a zillion other sources out there that if you want to watch hot women, you can do it. But plus, I'm also married. So, I mean, there's that. But I really enjoy the Iconics right now. I hope they have a long-term run. And I'm just pointing to SummerSlam right now. I understand SummerSlam's 4 months away. But I would be looking at SummerSlam as the earliest that I would have the Iconics drop the belts. I really would. I really and truly would. I want the Iconics to be just this brash, just nasty, full of themselves, obnoxious duo that continues to hold on to the belts. And you're just like, oh, my God, somebody please get the titles off of them. That's what I want. That's what I want. So there's that. I'm liking the Iconics right now. Another thing I'm really liking is Bayley. At least what I saw on a very different level, kind of a bit under the radar, if you will, and that was Bayley's change of tempo and demeanor when she was out there this past week on Raw, and she just felt different. She didn't have this happy-go-lucky, aw, shucks attitude. She had a little bit of an edge to her and put on a very good match, too, to boot. And, yeah, she ended up losing the match. But I think, ultimately, Bayley is earning the respect back from fans that she lost terribly. And I'm sorry, she was on SmackDown, not Raw. Bayley's on SmackDown and faced Charlotte. Bayley needs to continue to do that. I think Bayley needs to just stay off the mic, continue to just come out there, do her thing. If she has a promo, short and sweet, and enough of the feel good, I want to hug you all the time, here are my Bayley buddies type of entrances. And if they want to turn her heel, I'm all for it. I'm all for a Bayley heel turn. But if they want to keep her babyface, the time is now to build from the ground up, and I think they are right now with Charlotte. And she's still capable of having a very good match. I mean, I think that's also kind of forgotten, which, to be honest, the whole downturn of Bayley started when she got with Sasha, and they started that nonsensical back-and-forth program that we all know and love so much. But now it's time for Bayley to be on her own again. I'm liking that. I think she needs to stay away from Sasha and do her own thing, and Tuesday night on SmackDown was the first step in that. So I'm enjoying that. Another thing, I don't know what has gotten into me. Another thing I really liked, and I didn't think I would, Roman Reigns and Shane McMahon. I'm enjoying this and from a couple of perspectives. Number one, Shane as a heel, which I love. You guys know that. I don't need to repeat myself. Shane as a heel is my preference, not Shane as the babyface, who is apparently able to just stand toe-to-toe with any single athlete in WWE, and we're supposed to believe it. Nonsense. I like Shane as the heel, who's the opportunist, who is the cheat-to-win kind of sneaky guy. And I loved his promo on Tuesday night saying that, what kind of man hits another man's father? I mean, loved it, because, what, I mean, he just abused The Miz's dad weeks before WrestleMania and at WrestleMania. So I love that, just the hypocrisy of his character. Having the ring announcer come in out there and announce him as the best in the world, that was obnoxious, but now I'm enjoying it. I think that that's a great way for his character to get heat, and it's working. I like that. And even more shockingly, I'm finding myself rooting for Roman Reigns in this feud. I think that they did what they needed to do on SmackDown with Roman. And yeah, Elias is not a great in-ring performer. He's just not. And I even forgot Elias wrestled. I mean, when I saw him out there physically attacking Roman, I said, oh, that's right. Yeah, he doesn't just sit and play the guitar and strum and you know, diss the city he's in. He can still apparently wrestle. So it was nice to see him come out and make the save for Shane and hold him down, and Shane was holding Roman's leg, and it was just a nice traditional heel beatdown that made you want to see Roman spear the hell out of Shane McMahon. I mean, I want to see that, and it's just amazing that they have made me side with Roman in this program, and I'm loving it. So there's that too. So I really enjoyed that. So I'm on a tear today, guys, on an absolute tear. So, we also had, and I know I'm bouncing between Raw and SmackDown, but I'm just kind of going with my notes here. Apparently, the Viking Experience are now the Viking Raiders. But don't worry, according to WWE's policy of making sure that everything only has one name, it will just soon turn to Viking or Raiders. Can't do the football team, so I don't know what they're going to do, but look out if you have a multiple. If you have more than one name in your name, even if you're a tag team, look out. I mean, WWE has a long history of chopping names. So the Viking Raiders, I don't even know what to make of them. I know that the announcers were putting them over as, oh, they're basically soulless. They just care about inflicting punishment. Well, I mean, that's kind of the mantra for any star or stars debuting on the roster. I mean, look what they're doing to Lars Sullivan. They're basically saying the same thing. I mean, you could insert Lars commentary or the Viking Raiders commentary, and they would sound the same if you put them side by side. And so far, I'm liking Lars Sullivan too. I really am. I have nothing bad to say about him yet either. I think that they're introducing him smart, protecting him, not putting him on the mic too much. And it's all good there, too. Bob Roode's, Robert Roode's, whatever, Bobby Roode, whichever form of Robert you would like me to say, his mustache is getting a lot of attention. I'm cool with it. I think it's a nice little change. Yeah, he looks a little bit like Rick Roode. I don't care. I think it fits him. If you can pull off a mustache, and not too many people can, I say you do it. So, Becky Lynch versus Alicia Fox. Here's a little bit of a critique. Alicia, please, I'm begging you, go to developmental and just get up to speed with the rest of the ladies. She seems a little discombobulated. I don't know what she is. She's crazy like a fox. I guess that's her gimmick. She's a good-looking woman. I'm just not following what she's supposed to be as a character. She's just this wacky, sometimes doesn't make sense promo. Again, crazy like a fox. I think that's the whole premise of Alicia Fox. I don't know. But her wrestling is also a little bit subpar. I mean, it just is. That's not even subjective. That she just is not up to par with the women's evolution. She's just not. So there's that too. Now we have Becky versus Charlotte again at the next pay-per-view, Money in the Bank. We get that. Okay, fine. I'm fine with it. Many people aren't. But I think if Becky very well could drop the belt to Charlotte, which I think this match is intended to do, you could say, oh, where's Becky Two Belts? First of all, I don't like that name. I think it's a manufactured name that they're trying to monetize. I don't like it. Becky Two Belts sounds very, I don't know, it sounds hokey to me. I personally don't like it. Nonetheless, I think the purpose of Becky and Charlotte at Money in the Bank is to drop the belt to Charlotte so Charlotte can go on her merry way and be the queen and be the obnoxious champion on SmackDown, and Becky can be officially drafted to Raw and she can defend the Raw Women's Championship currently against Lacey Evans. I think she will convincingly defeat Lacey Evans, although Lacey will put up a good fight at Money in the Bank. I think ultimately we have Becky Lynch defeat Lacey Evans and lose to Charlotte. I think that her first match is going to be against Charlotte on the pay-per-view, where Lacey Evans interferes and costs Becky the match. And then we have Becky retain against Lacey Evans to make the fans go home happy. So, early prediction. I know it's 3 weeks away, but that is my early call on that match, or matches. So, plus, I mean, I think we need to share the wealth here. I mean, I like Becky as champion. I never even thought about her being a dual champion. To be honest, I don't think it added a whole lot of value other than to put on the marquee, it's a winner-take-all. Oh, it's giving more attention. It's just a winner-take-all. We got to up the importance, up the urgency. It's the first ever women's main event. I think it would have been just fine as the Raw Women's Championship. That was all that was on the line, and you have a SmackDown championship match separate. I really think that we would have been just fine having it be separate matches, but that's just my opinion. All right. So, really, guys, I mean, I thought it was a very solid week of WWE in all. I really think that. And I don't think I've had that positive of a review in quite a while. I know that my critiques sometimes take up more time than they probably should. But overall, guys, I really think it was a positive step and positive week for WWE when it comes to their TV production. We had, as I said, Kevin Owens turning heel. I liked it. We had Becky and Charlotte. I actually like that. As some people, oh my God, we've seen that how many times. I think this is their final one for a while. So let's calm down. We know they can put on a good match. I'm all for that match too. And we know what kind of match we're going to get. And I think we ultimately get Charlotte beating Becky. And Roman Reigns getting beat down. I like that too, because I want to see Shane get his ass kicked. That's a positive. That's what they're going for. Kevin Owens, as I said, turning heel. And the number one story of the week is, crazily, again, Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse. I am all for it. I'm excited to see where that goes. And it just has me intrigued as hell. And I hope they don't just screw things up in the second week of this whole deal. So how about that, guys? A hell of a positive week for WWE. Not without its flaws. I mean, there were some things I just was not a fan of, but I'm going to try to make history and make this the most positive show in WWE podcast history. How about that? Yeah, you guys are, you're listening to this episode. You are now part of history because I have made this the most positive show in the show's history. How about that? You guys feel special, I'm sure. But Guys, thank you for joining me. As always, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Y'all know where you can find me. Everywhere there's audio. I don't need to plug it every single time. It's pretty straightforward no matter what you have, where to find me in terms of audio content. So hopefully this gave you guys some substance, because apparently that's lacking for my shows, is substance. Right. So also, one last thing. If you've made it to the end of this show, that means you are probably a decent fan of this show. And what I would like to extend to you is an offer to throw your hat into the ring, so to speak, for being a co-host on this show, either on a permanent or semi-permanent basis. If that interests you, once a week, send me and drop me a line either on Twitter at the WWE Podcast or via email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. That's realwwepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to be on this show regularly to discuss Raw and SmackDown every single week, drop me a line there and throw your hat into the ring, and we'll see what happens. And I'm looking for somebody. If you guys are asking qualifications, you have to have a master's. I'd like you to have 5 years experience in the podcast. No, I'm kidding. What I'd like you to have basically is a passion for wrestling. You don't have to love this show, because I'm not asking you to mark out and tell me how much you love this show. I'm not asking for that at all. I'm asking you to be a passionate fan of wrestling, a commitment to being on the show semi-regularly or regularly, whatever your schedule may dictate, and stick to it. I mean, it's just called commitment. I mean, that's it. I mean, if you always wanted to be a podcast host, then maybe this is your chance. So there's that too. And just come prepared. I mean, watch Raw and SmackDown, have some talking points. Just because I'm the host of the show doesn't mean I have to dictate everything we talk about. That's the point of having a co-host, is being able to bounce things off of other people and not just hear one monotone voice for 45 to minutes to an hour, right? So that's my invitation to you guys. If you're interested, drop me a line on Twitter or via email. So with all that being said, guys, y'all know what I'm about to say. Thanks for joining me. I'll talk to you next time.